For those of you who are visiting us for the first time, my name is Johan Luque, and I'm one of the pastors here at Westside Church International. And I just want to welcome everyone again. We have been talking through several weeks now, on about faith and culture. And one of the topics that we are now transitioning to this week and next week, it's faith and work. You might be thinking, well, there are so many, you know, topics that are maybe more relevant about our culture that we should be talking about. We have covered immigration. That sounds like a really interesting topic. Relationships, you know, like singleness and divorce. And then we talk about like how that relates to our culture. But how is it that our faith relate to what we do? Why is it that the pastors of Westside decided to talk about work when talking about, you know, in this series of teaching, faith and work? And the simplest answer, let me be honest with you, is that work stinks. That's the reality. And we all, you know, somehow we, if you're a normal human being, in the sense of you know, in understanding, you probably, you know, had worked in your life. And you probably have experienced what many others experience, is that sense of, man, I want to work. And then when you get it, you don't want it anymore. It stinks. You just want to stay home. We would, you know, just wish that we would just get a check in the mail for our needs and for our wants. Wouldn't that be awesome? And the reality is that work stinks. We all suffer. We all struggle. We all, you know, deal with that. And some of you, you know, might be, you know, going through a hard time of work, questioning your you know, what you're doing right now. And this might be something good for you today. The other answer about for that work? Why do we want to talk about work? Is that because you probably spend more time at work with your family. Probably the best hours of your day. Probably spend, I mean, use somewhere else that is not your first, I would say, love, which is your family. You wake up thinking of, I have to take a shower, and I have to go to work. So work is really important for our lives. If you just, you know, work normally, you probably work 40 hours. If you have more needs, you might have 1.5 jobs, you know. Maybe a part-time here on weekends. And so the reality is that work is part of our lives. It's crucial. And it's very important that we approach work with the right understanding, because work affects our happiness, our joy, our capacity to be okay with ourselves and with everybody. So we need to really understand. And I believe that the Bible is really encourages us to have an appreciation and a kind of correct view of why we have to work. Why is it that we have to do it? Many of us, you know, might be thinking, yes, it is Adam's fault, because that guy disobeyed God, and because of him, now, in Genesis 3, we read that we have to sweat. That's what the Bible says, in order to provide. And some of us might be thinking, wow, so before that, there was no responsibility. We didn't have to do that. Adam, we will talk when I get to heaven, because you really make me sweat a lot. So you probably might be thinking, you know, it's really, you know, because of that. And yes, it's a reality. We work because it has to do with Genesis 3, the fall, the history in which things got even more complicated for everyone. Women had to go through a lot of pain when giving birth, right? And that happened also in Genesis 3. A lot of things were corrupted. The normal thing before that was that, yes, women were going to give birth, maybe not with a lot of that, I mean, with a lot of pain, and men had to work, maybe without that, a lot of, you know, like being painful to the point in which today we really sometimes don't want to go to work. I don't want to go to work. And that kind of becomes the norm for many. That's the sad part of it. Is that it is okay to feel, you know, once in a while, I wish I could stay home. But when it becomes the norm, and that sense of I don't want to work, I don't want to be around these people, I don't want to see this guy today, I don't want to be doing today what I have to do today. When that becomes a norm, then there is something that is wrong with it. Because work, for us human beings, whether you are Christian or not, is a privilege. It's a gift. It is not a curse. And the reason why we struggle with finding joy, with finding a passion, with finding that peace and that sense of, man, it feels good. I know it's hard, but it feels good emotionally, is because there was sin added to the formula and it became a really complicated thing. That's one reason why sometimes we don't feel like working. The other reason is because we somehow have misunderstood why and why we have to work. And our culture, one of the things that really we are taught about this is that what really matters is what you do. And I just, you know, remember in elementary and middle and high school hearing from my teachers when they were talking about what are you gonna do when you grow up? And I'm still asking myself that question. What am I gonna do when I grow up? It's that all the examples that the teachers use, that our parents use, that society use for life and work as an adult, they are great. And we are taught, yes, I'm gonna be a lawyer, I'm gonna be an engineer, I'm gonna be, you know, the next Bill Gates. And we are informed with these almost utopical scenarios in which the reality is that for many of us, that's not true. Then when we face reality, we are, I thought, you know, I'm gonna be an astronaut, right? But the reality is that, you know, that you might not be that. Probably you're not. So we are misinformed about the meaning and the value of work because, like I said, in culture and society, we are told what really pays off is if you are a lawyer, a doctor, an engineer, a scientist. Never I heard a teacher setting the example about working and life and being successful using a janitor as an example. So the examples that we hear is you have to be something great in order to be successful, in order to be to have a value in what you do. And one of the reasons why we struggle with, you know, enjoying work, having fun with it, and it's not perfect, it doesn't have to be perfect, is because we struggle with understanding that work is not about what we do, but it's about how we do it and why we do it. And our culture says it's about what you do what counts. And God says it's how you do it what counts. And we are so caught up with the idea it's what you do, because that's how we grew up, even for Halloween. When I was a kid, it was about being a superhero. Something meaningful for society, and then you feel good. So work touches our identity. It even elevates it or brings it down. And let me tell you my story, my personal story with one of my stories about, you know, from work. When I, you know, as a kid, my dad, he lost his job, and he was always thinking what to do next, you know. And he had this wonderful idea of making my brother, my oldest brother, which he was about 3 years older than me, to go out and sell lottery as kids. in Colombia, maybe Mexico is the same. There were, like, in, you know, in the late 80s and early 90s, like these little things that you would just sell, like 100 numbers. It was every day. And my brother and myself, we would have to go around the neighborhood, house by house, talking to people, like drunk people, you know, in the corner drinking or playing dominoes. Hey, and lottery, like you want to buy, you know, a number for tonight, blah, blah. So we would sell that. That was my first kind of experience with work. I was maybe about 9 years old in the night selling lottery. I didn't, you know, that wasn't that, you know, good for, you know, money-wise. Then my dad had the idea of creating his own manufacturer at home, making escobas y traperos. You know? Yes, brooms and mops. And then guess who was in charge of the sales department? My brother and me. So we would have to go out the streets with maybe 10, 15 traperos and escobas in the shoulder, yelling on the street, traperos, escobas. And let me tell you, you know, that maybe I was maybe 9, 10. I was supposed to be studying. And those two experiences, they marked me forever. And they really, I mean, I'm still struggling with what it did for me, is the aspect of shame that it brought to my life. And I have realized that because of that, it was hard for me to really understand the healthy reason why we work. And I was so into, it's about what I do. It's not about how I do it. So we grow up with that idea. It's about what you do. If you are a doctor, hey, you know, let me talk about you. But if you are a janitor cleaning restrooms in the middle of the night, oh, man, you know, just sit over here. I'm going to sit with the doctor. In our society, that is what we get from society. That's what we get from our parents. You need to be a doctor, the next lawyer in the family. And we grow up with that idea that it's about what you do. What counts. And we are convinced that there is so much honor in having those high, you know, kind of level and really, you know, important jobs that is so important. And we are convinced. We even communicate and value people based on what they do. That's normal for our culture. God created, the Bible says, is that it is not supposed to be like that. God created work not with the purpose of elevating our self-esteem. That's not the purpose why we work. God created work because he wanted us to be an extension of his creative. Let me read it exactly. Our job, God created work so that we will be an extension of his creative act of work and in the universe. Genesis 3 is obviously right after Genesis 2, right? And Genesis 2 is after Genesis 1. Genesis 1, the whole thing is about work. The whole thing about what we see in Genesis 1 is about work. And after God finished working 6 days, that was, you know, back then was 6 days that you work, you will rest one. He said, you know, al llegar el séptimo día, Dios descansó porque había terminado la obra que había emprendido. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So unto the seventh day, he rested from all his work. That is not, is the thing that started everything that is known to us and that is unknown to us. In other words, when we read the Bible, the first thing that we're going to read is God working. So work is important to God. Therefore, it should be important to us. Work is part of who we are. Because when God was almost done with creation, with working, and creating everything, he said, we're going to create man into our image. And there is something so crucial in that passage. It's in Genesis 1, 26 through 27. It says, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that, let's stop right there. It should be kind of marked right there, so that, para qué? That's his purpose. If we ask God, hey, God, why did you create me? The answer is right there. God says, so that I created you so that you might rule over my creation. So work is part of our identity and our why we are here in this life. Why was I created? You were created to work. And when I use this word work, I really want to take away all the negative connotations and feelings and emotions that are attached to this word, because it can be a good thing, it can be a bad thing for many. Work, it's hateful for many. So let's just read the positive, because it was before Genesis 3, before everything was ruined and corrupted. So for God, work at the moment of the creation was a good thing. It was beautiful. And working for God, as he was giving it to man, he said, I'm going to create you so that you can work, and you work, and your job description is going to be to rule over my creation. And the word rule also, let's take all the negative connotations from it and just use the positive. It's a privilege. It's the opportunity to continue doing what God was intended or he meant to do with the creation, giving names, managing. And you might be thinking, well, that was an easy job. Adam and Eve, they didn't have to be, let's put it this way, on a roof in the middle of the day in Arizona, roofing. You might be thinking that. Their job was so easy, naming animals. And just, hey, next. No, it was more than that. They did it. They didn't just have to do that. They have to manage what God had created and keep it the same way how God intended it to be. It was management, stewardship. And God saw that, and when he created man, he said, it is so good. So when you ask yourself, why was humankind created? Well, they were created to work, in the sense they were created to continue managing what God had created. That was our first job ever. To work for God in managing his creation. And going back to my story, if I don't understand this part of Genesis 1 and reading Genesis 1 through the lenses of work, which is, I think, is working clearer now to me, when he says, so that, and God worked, and God rested from working. If I don't read this as a privilege, as God has chosen me to continue managing his creation, I'm going to continue. If I don't do that, I'm going to continue feeling bad about what I do or what I don't do as a human being. You might be thinking, what honor is then to be, let's say, for example, be at 7-Eleven at 4 a.m. serving coffee and just checking out people, hey, you paying $1.50 for your coffee, and you. But honor is that, what value do I have working as that? I wish I would be at a hospital. And all those thoughts can be in our head. Well, let me tell you something. Let's think that there is no gas station in the city, and that there is no 7-Elevens or Conoco or whatever in the city. And there is not that person at 4 a.m. that is able to sell you a coffee to warm up your day. They said that there is not that person that is there, that there is not that business that had open doors when you're working in the middle of the night to go and have a warm, hot beverage or to eat a donut. Our works, whatever we do legally, let's put it this way, they bring meaning to someone else. Whatever you do, they are God's extension to serve people and community. Oh, I just work at a FedEx Kingdom making copies. What good is that? You don't have idea how glad a lawyer that is running behind printing copies for a case would appreciate finding a Kinko's on his way to a case, to a court. I found a copy and now I have my case. When you think of what you do, you will always by what you and resolve that someone was blessed by what you did. You are a roofer, let's put it that way. I was a roofer with Sosimos. Sosimos right there. I worked with him for a few months. It was hard. It was tough, challenging. If I just stayed there and think, man, this is so hard, being here at noon, working under the sun, and I think, you know what? Someone here is going to be served by this. There was this building that I drove by in California and Park Avenue. And there is a nonprofit working there. And when I drive by, I just think, well, there are a lot of people that are being served. And because of me, because I was there and I helped with putting that roof, I was part of these people that are being served by this nonprofit. My work counts. So God, in his sovereign design, calculated everything. And everything we do, again, if you're doing legally, job, it adds value to someone else's life. And that's why our work counts. You might be thinking, well, yeah, but I think I want to bring value by inventing the next social media app. That brings value. That brings really, because a lot of people like that. What if you would think, you know what? I created a social media where people are just, you know, being discouraged because they see pictures of everyone else's perfect life and they are committing suicide. And you might be thinking, oh, I don't want to create that. Well, let me tell you. There are great things that they're not helping people. And you might be thinking, I want to be the next, you know, Apple guy, Facebook guy. But not every great thing adds value to people's life. And we, as human beings, and as sons and daughters of God, we do are in the business of adding value to people. But we do. Be thinking, I want to be an engineer then to invent something. And I have all the good intentions to add value to people. I want to add value to people with something that is meaningful, important, like being a doctor, inventing a cure for cancer or something. And God says, well, that is very important. But remember, it's not what you do. What counts is how you do it. What does that mean, how you do it? If you are being honest, if you have integrity, if you are loyal to the truth, if you do what you need to do, thinking always in God, in what he brings to people and what he wants for people. When God created us, he didn't want us to find meaning and find our identity in the things that we do for life. That's not the purpose. And in America, let me tell you, the dream, the land of dreams can come true, 50% of people are happy with their jobs. They want a different job. And the simplest explanation to that is because they haven't found happiness and meaning and their identity in what they are doing. So the problem is not about what you are doing, what I'm doing. For many, it's shameful. For many, it can be a reason to be egocentric and have self-pride. You know, I'm prideful of my kids because they all went to college. It's not about that. That shouldn't be the reason to feel good and to feel prideful about who we are. That adds on because, yes, it helps. Not because of the title in itself, but because we are responsible with our gifting and talents. Not everyone can be an engineer. Not everyone can be a doctor. Not everyone can be a lawyer. God knew that we were going to need all these type of jobs. And the people that is, you know, investigating ruins, you know, in Egypt. What good does that, you know, to society, excavating and being full of dust all the time? God knew every single job that was going to be happening. And every single job is included in God's design and purposes to redeem our community, our society, our world. We should be proud of what we are doing, because we're adding meaning to people. The problem is if we are not doing it in the right way. It's not about what we do. It's about how I do it. How do I do it? The same way God did it. Genesis 1. He was creative. He ended the story with saying, "It's good. It's so good. It's perfect. We do it with excellence. We do it with pride. We do it with a clear intention of blessing someone." And I guarantee you, when we are thinking that we are being God's extension of blessing to someone else, that brings joy and more happiness. Like I said, in my personal, you know, dealing with this, because it's very crucial for me. At this point of my life, you know, being a pastor was a privilege, but was also an honor. But was also that selfish thing that I wanted to achieve. Because it becomes a selfish enough to be up here talking to you. It is, can be impressive. Some of you might be thinking, "Oh, this guy sucks as a teacher." Some of you might, you know, another occasion might be thinking, "Wow, I really like Johan's teaching." And it might be, I might impress one or two. Some people might like my post about God and how I love God. And you know, being a pastor is something honorable that many people, you know, want to achieve. Doesn't pay that well. Being honest. And my problem with being a pastor was that I was trying to find my meaning and my identity in it. And I was so wrong. Because my job is my calling, and my calling is my job. In many occasions, I didn't even care about if I was making money. I was just being so concerned about the credit that I was, you know, gaining. Man, Johan is so impressive. I like how he plays guitar, and was really egocentric, selfish approach to what I do as a pastor. And God has been talking to me so loud that it's really hard to miss. Me personally, whatever I do, whether if I'm talking in front of you or whether if I'm delivering pizza over there, it shouldn't be different in my heart. It shouldn't be different in my motives and reasons. Because first and foremost of everything, I'm a son of God. I'm a disciple. I'm not a pastor. My identity is not in being a pastor. It's not in being I'm a half engineer because I'm a half engineer. I didn't finish college. It's not about being good at what I do. My identity is on the fact that I'm a son of God. And because of that, everything that I do in life should be done with excellence, with commitment, with honesty, with integrity, with loyalty, with holiness, with the same concern if I was the president of the United States. It doesn't change. It shouldn't change. And this is why, and being a janitor, flipping hamburgers, and being an engineer, he's not impressed by that. He doesn't feel sorry about you if you that's what you do. What concerns God is how you do it, how I do it. Because flipping hamburgers, cleaning the restroom, that puts a smile on someone else's face. It adds value to life. If you're a lawyer and you're stealing money and tricking people, you're just lying to yourself. You're not impressing anybody. You know in your heart that that's not right. But if you do it with love, honesty, thinking that you are blessing to others, that you are committed to your boss, that you sign a contract, I'm going to do my best to improve this company. If you're respecting that, if you're following through, that's what adds value to you as a person, as a human being. So, to be honest, in the past, maybe I would say 7, 6 years ago, maybe even 3, man, I had so much trouble understanding this thing about being a pastor and how that related to my identity as a human being, to the point that I didn't listen when I needed to. Didn't listen to advice from other pastors that they told me, Johan, you know, maybe this might help you in understanding this. And I was so positive about what I needed to do. And I have realized that life is not about that. It's so sure. Because at the end, in those dark places of my heart, I know that what really counts in life is whether I'm being a disciple of Jesus or not. Again, whether I'm cleaning a restroom, which I have done, or whether I'm talking to many people or teaching at a high school, which I have done. It's about how I do it. One more story to finish this. I came to the U.S. in 2006. I came ready to get my degree. I mean, I was already working on it. I just needed my internship and finish a few classes to get my degree in Bible studies, you know, my undergrad. And the church that I came to, one of my assignments was to vacuum the building and to, you know, move chairs around and things like that. Every time that I went home after that, I was feeling so mad, so frustrated, so sad. Because I was like, that's not me. I'm almost a theologian. So silly. After that, I worked as an electrician for maybe 6 months or so. Was winter 2006 and 2007, and they called me coming from Colombia, kind of nice weather. It affected me a lot, so much. And it brought up so much of my trash inside me. And I was working with immigrants, undocumented. They didn't even have a degree, a high school degree, and they were giving me instructions. Me, someone that was already done with college. And it really hit on my ego. Then I went to UPS, the same thing, working midnights for 4 years, loading 4 trucks in each day, about 100 packages. Every night I was just thinking, why do I need to do this? This guy didn't even finish high school. And that was me, arrogant Johan, comparing and being so selfish. I should be your supervisor, I would say to the supervisor. I know this stuff. I almost finished being an engineer. Why do I need to do this? All those experiences confirmed that I was putting my identity in the wrong place, because I was convinced that my happiness and my identity as a human being was rooted in what I did and not how I did it. I would go mad, upset, arrogant, and fail to be a disciple in those places. I failed to be light because I was so into myself. All those experiences had helped me to understand pain and understand the people that work hard. But I do want to say this. Latinos, we shouldn't be feeling so prideful about we are the ones who build houses. We do the work that nobody wants to do. Man, that's so arrogant. Because an American white person should say, well, I put the hours into studying that you didn't want to put. I worked hard in college. That's why I get to be your manager. We all will be able to play our cards and say, hey, I work hard. Yeah, we all do it. We all work hard at some point. We all do it. And it only speaks of our identity. It only speaks of how we are seeing that has been gifted to us, our work. It is a gift. It is a gift from God, and we should be concerned about how we do it instead of what we are doing. Where we are at this moment in life, whatever you are doing, even if you're thinking in switching to a different job, that's not the problem. The problem is whether you are going to be a disciple, a better disciple in that job. That's the real problem. The problem is whether you are happy with who you are as a human being right now, today, or not. As we prepare to worship, let us reflect on that. Am I happy? Am I grateful? Am I at peace with myself? Do I have regrets? Probably we all do. Probably we all struggle with that. Man, I should have done my homework. I should have studied. Probably. But let us think through this. Wherever we are at, wherever you are at this moment in life, God has you there. He's going to use you there. He's going to bless you there. And he's using that to provide for your needs and to be blessing to others, to add value to someone else's life. So every time that you go to work in the morning, every time that you're preparing to do what you need to do, just think of what is it that I can do that can be a blessing to someone else. You add value because you're doing what God would have done for that other person. Amen.